a blessing on the offering, sir.
Dear Father, thank you for all you've done for us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I pray that we will be faithful to you. Lord, I pray that we just keep in your word and learn, keep learning more about you and telling others about you. Be faithful for you. Bless this offering that we can use it for your honor and glory.
Amen. Brother Scott, I'll just use this microphone. I got the batteries are right there by you. Don't worry about it. Exodus chapter 18. I really believe there's a lot of little things that happen around here to keep our eyes off the Lord Jesus. For example, I didn't put batteries in my lapel mic, so I'm going to have to stay right here and use the pulpit microphone. There should be two back here, brother. It's in the mouse, yeah. And I got two on my desk that I can give to you, so we can have two more. Are we online?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hello, everyone. We've had technical difficulties because the devil hates us. I was telling the folks, if you're watching, thank you. If you're watching the replay or you're watching the live, by the way, I'm a whole lot more handsome and charismatic in person. But anyway, I want to say to you, thank you for watching. We've had a number. Brother Chedina said he's been watching it off and on, and some others have been. Jamie put on our, I think it was on our Facebook page, she mentioned how we're going to have service on Christmas Day. Well, we already got two comments back, but one in particular. It said, most churches are counseling for Christmas morning. It's good to see that you're going to have a service on Christmas morning. I think we would be foolish for not. Let me tell you what December 25th is? It's a date on the calendar and nothing else. Nothing else. By the way, the Lord Jesus was born in probably late March, early April. All December 25th is, it's a fabrication, and a deceitful fabrication, all about materialism, but also Christmas is also a pagan holiday. It's a mass. And according to the false church, we celebrate on it, and it's all about money. To them, Ronald Reagan said it this way, and I love it. To a Republican, every day is July the 4th. But to a Democrat, every day is April 15th. Oh, yeah, we're going to pay a lot more in taxes because, well, they need your money. I hope people have understood this by now, but the taxation of the American people is probably 10 times higher than it was during the Revolutionary War before they started the war. We are taxed anywhere from 30 to 40% every year on every dollar that we make. And if you vote for those sorry jokers, you're wicked. And I'm going to tell you right now, about 90% of our politicians, they're Satanists. So that's just all there is to it. Exodus chapter 18. Of course, I get people all the time, shut your mouth. You have no clue. You have no clue. Thank you for being here. Exodus 18, verse number 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel's people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. So this first part of this chapter 18, now, we've just had the children of Israel bickering and murmuring and complaining. And if you've got an angry and complaining spirit, you're just wicked. Get right. Get right. An evil and a complaining spirit. Now, I know we're all going through things. I told Sister Bensie, I don't mind the battle. I'm just tired of the battles. You get weary in the battles. You get beat up in the battle. You get battle-worn and battle-weary. I understand that. But you deal with so many people that all they want to do is be negative, and they want to be hateful. And And Moses has dealt with that. Then he's dealt with his own struggles. Remember now, Moses is above the age of 80 at this point. If you're around that 80 mark, which I would never mention any names, Ben C. Martinez, that 80 mark gets rough.
Yes, it does. Every day.
I mean, can you imagine the wisdom that Moses had that God was given? That's a blessing. But when your left knee's sore one day and your right knee's sore the next day and your left hip won't work and your right shoulder's out of whack and you've got a headache or two and you won't get rid of the Wolverine-itis you might have in your home, you're going to struggle. Michelle's back here struggling, and I love you. We all have those struggles. She's hurting. And Scott working so much, and Ray working so much. And it seems like today, the more you work, the further behind you get. Well, that's by design. The devil hates you. As we get into Sunday school this morning, Zipporah was not a help to her husband Moses. Well, Moses has really gone through it, hadn't he? Now, his father-in-law comes in, and it seems like they have a friendship here, which I will tell you, I have a friendship with my dad, and I have a friendship with my father-in-law. Now, my father-in-law, Norman Conrad, I call him Dad, Daddy Norman, out of respect for Jamie. And, of course, I was thrown under the bus for that. I've had people mad at me for that. Well, I don't care. Be mad at me. Blow it out your ear. Look, what David does, he has to honor God and answer to God. And if there's any way that I can make you better and help you, I may have to do things that cause other people to not be happy with me.
Right.
On you.
Yeah.
I'm not answering to a human being. I'm answering to God Almighty. And so I see that Moses has a relationship with Jethro. Matter of fact, if you think about it, Jethro took him in when nobody else wanted him. And to me, that's a true friend. Now, Jethro seems to be a godly man, and we'll get into that in a moment. But let me say this. Wisdom only comes from God, God Almighty, and His holy word. Why do I say that? Because in a little bit, Jethro is going to try to be wise and give help to Moses. But what Moses and Jethro don't understand, because it didn't come from God, some 1,500 to 1,800 years later, the same group that Moses creates puts Jesus Christ on the cross. The Sanhedrin, the Sadducee, the Pharisee, the leader in the Jewish economy, governmental economy, is the very ones that hang him on the cross, although my sin and your sin hung him on the cross. That's the truth. But wisdom only comes from God. Hold your place here and look with me at Proverbs chapter 2. And I'll try not to be too fast in this, but there's a lot here. And it's just amazing. People, you might, as you're reading your Bible, you might think, man, why does he see all that? Well, take your time in your study. Take your time, but you got to read and read and read. But take your time in and you'll see some blessings. Look at chapter 2 of Proverbs in verses 6 and 7. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Why do I give you these verses? Because here in a few verses from now, Jethro, in his loving and kind way, thinks he's going to be a help to Moses. And really what he does is he hurts Moses. You may have some thoughts and suggestions, but if it's not God's, don't give it. Keep your mouth shut or say this: I love you and I'm praying for you. We'll go before the throne and ask God to give you wisdom. Because that's where it ought to be at. Come back to Exodus chapter 18. Now, in this, with that in mind, man can give advice, but only God can give truthful, pure wisdom. Really, all man can do is suggest. What works for me may not work for you. Are there some general basics that work? Absolutely. Let me give you one in particular. Sister Karis makes not one and not two, but she makes 3 coconut cream pies for Pastor. If I were to take and eat all 3 of them, which is a very good possibility. What? Yes, I am a glutton. especially for food that has an amazing taste. And I would eat all three of them. That's gluttony. And that's just terrible. But she, out of the goodness of her heart, out of the kindness, wanted to do something special. And that was what she did. And she just, oh, I love you, Pastor. Was there really any intention of good there? Well, yeah. But what happened? I got worse. Why? Because the taste of the coconut cream pie would be so good, I would strangle my body with sugar, and that which destroys out of the goodness of her heart and out of the goodness of my taste, and it's deceitful. Are you listening? It's deceitful. A lot of people can do things out of the goodness of their heart, but in reality, they're being deceived. They're being deceitful. They're devious. And by the way, that is true. It is Satan. And in this afternoon's message, after we have our little snack time and dinner time, we're in Revelation chapter 10. And one of the thoughts there, as you look at all that goes on, see, the Satan, he doesn't want you believing God's creator. He doesn't want you believing that God's book is pure. Matter of fact, that's why we have what we have today. That's why we have a satanic movement in the transgender society, which ought not be in any society. Men and women are the only two genders, and a man is to marry a woman. I saw something the other day, and it just made me sick because I'd forgotten about it, for one. In Star Trek, Mr. Uhura, or the Asian man that's in that, was talking about his husband, Michael. Do y'all realize that even back in the 60s, when Star Trek was being made, there were sodomites? And even before that, John Wayne, I saw an interview, one of his last interviews before he passed away. He was talking about the sodomites within Hollywood bothered him the most. 1970-something on the Johnny Carson show. I don't know how it came up and popped up on a feed of mine, but I was looking at it and I thought, first of all, I forgot about what a godly man John Wayne was. See, most people don't want to talk about that. Red Skelton, the rest of them, probably one of the greatest interviews, and probably one of the greatest acknowledgments of the United States of America was done by Red Skelton and Johnny Cash, for that matter. Don't throw them out. They got some good things. So with that, in verses 1 through 7, there's a greeting and a return of Moses' family. Zipporah was not happy with Moses in Exodus chapter 4. Matter of fact, they were going to, her and the boys were following Moses, and they were going to go back to Egypt. Well, they got a certain distance away from Jethro and all that was going on there, and the angel of the Lord met Moses and was going to kill him. And he said, "You've not circumcised your boys." And then Zipporah, she circumcised him and took that blood and that flesh and threw him at his feet and was mad at him. Number one. No wife nor any husband should be that wicked and mean and nasty to their spouse. There is never a reason for it. Matter of fact, according to Matthew, even in the area of adultery, you say, no, there's an exception there. But doesn't the Lord tell us to forgive all that hurt us? Yeah. That's a tough decision to make, isn't it? Most people don't want to. No, boy, you're wrong on that passage. If she's caught in adultery or he's caught in adultery, then Moses gave him a bill of divorcement. That's right. Moses did it, not God. That's right. When I said I do, I meant I do. Now, that's a very touchy situation within the church today. Yeah. Wait a minute, Pastor. Then you're saying there is no divorce? One time I gave the advice to a young girl in Mississippi. But when I see her, both her eyes blackened and her nose bleeding, and the baby has bruises on its face. I remember calling. We got a hold of the mom. She lived in Tupelo. She came down and got him. I said, "Now listen, you need to get some time away from him, and you need to consider what your options are." I'd be a foolish man to send her back into that. Are you listening? And of course, what he needed was a good old-fashioned country. Can I say the word butt on TV? Or before, but on the pulpit. He needed a good old-fashioned whooping. And I mean, I'm not talking about a 10-second whooping. I'm talking about a one-hour whooping and then a good preaching too. Ain't never right to hit a woman. And really, for that matter, it ain't right for a woman to hit a man. Now, when we're sparring, I'd like for Miss Jamie to hit me harder, but she just kind of taps me. It's like, oh, come on. But my Jamie loves me so much that I've had other people attack me, but I love them so much that I decided to have mercy on them. And that's the way we should be. Let me go on. But in this greeting, Zipporah, she's just not happy with Moses at all. So what's she do? She leaves and go back with Daddy. Where should she have been? Beside him. If you have a wife or a husband, you need to be beside him. You need to stop griping and bickering and complaining and chewing them up. You're wicked. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And that's what's happening in America, is the destruction of the family, because she's upset or he's upset. When you said I do, you literally told that individual, you are my everything for the rest of my life. You and God. And I've told you before, it's Jesus and Jamie. My mom and dad are a blessing and I love them dearly. But it's Jamie and I. And I will tell you this, church family, I will glorify God. And I will serve you and I will serve God. But my number one job after obeying God and serving God is to take care of her. I mean, my wife is weaker than I am. The Bible says that. I need to take care of her, and I will. Where is Zipporah? She's right where a lot of women are today. It wasn't like that 100 years ago. So I remember the old-timers saying this, that during World War II, the women left the home site and never returned. You know what's a shame? When the husband has to be the mother. I've seen it so many times. I've seen moms that have children, they will murder them by abortion. And that's what abortion is. Abortion is murder. It is, matter of fact, if you look in the Old Testament, it's the worship of Ashtaroth and Chemosh, Molech. There's about five different gods there that one of the sacrifices were sacrifices of infants, firstborn. Today, still to this day, according to missionaries from India, especially Brother Jeff Coates told me, they will still throw their firstborn children into the crocodile's pit, the rivers, thinking they're pleasing the gods. This greeting from Zipporah, she did not honor her husband. So therefore, she is the one that's wrong. All right, ladies, let's just be honest this morning. Do you struggle with admitting that you're wrong? No. I ain't got to everybody. Ladies, the hardest struggle you have is admitting that you're wrong. Why is that? The Bible says for the wife to submit to her husband. And I've been noticing it lately, even within, not Jamie and I so much, but other families that are close to us or families that are family, where the woman has to step up and take charge because the husband's weak. But then on top of that, the woman is wrong with God and she steps up on her own volition. And then wonders what's wrong with things. I've seen a couple wives become very hateful before me because I'll just call them out on it. Let your man be a man. This idea of that masculinity is toxic is of Satan. It's a devilish doctrine. And you say, well, I'm not that away. Well, you are to an extent. You've just matured. Sister Karis, you've matured to the point where you've seen the error of it. And by the way, yes, we all have that struggle. But ladies, you want to be in control. I know that because of the ones that aren't here anymore. That were so wicked, they decided to destroy, they tried to destroy this church, and they didn't realize they were destroying their own family. I got a young man that was filling a pew up. His nephew was coming to Taekwondo. They were really growing. Dad's unsaved, and Dad and I had been able to talk, or the grandpa and I had been able to talk about the gospel. And I praise the Lord that we planted seed and we watered that seed, and I pray one day he'll be saved. But that young man was mad at me because I wouldn't preach heresy that he believed. And every time we were in the scriptures, it proved what he thought was heresy. Therefore, he's not here. And they came here for about 4 or 5 months. But because they did not honor the word, they did not honor God, and they did not honor the man of God. Now, I can understand having problems with the man of God that's not teaching truth. I can understand that. Because if it's biblical, if it's heresy, then he and I are going to have a problem. But if it's biblical, we must honor and submit to God Almighty. Amen. We have struggles in our earthly relationships because the relationship with God is not right. Moses has been without his family. And this, I wrote this note down for verses 1 through 7. Moses has been without his family the whole time. I don't know what I would do without Jamie beside me. I wouldn't know what to do without Karis and Bincy beside me. Still ain't figured out what to do with Brother Ray. But I don't know what I would do without Ray beside me and Rachel. I tell you what, probably one of the... In the last few years, Sister Bincy, Sister Karis, having Scott and Michelle beside us. Hadn't that been a blessing? Scott fixed a toilet without me even having to ask. He just went in and did it. I had to go to Home Depot a couple times, but I don't mind doing that. But I take Miss Jamie with me, and she likes to sit out in the truck, so then I have to go in there and get it and get out because I don't want to be too long. So I'm hoping she'll come in one time. She says, no, because we're not looking at tools. Yes, ma'am. And then she reminds me we don't have any money. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Hey, beloved, we need each other. We need each other not so much to be upset and bickering all the time. We need each other to make each other better through our prayer life. Words of encouragement, right? Miss Jamie's so beautiful this morning. I tell you, I woke up beside her. Got her a new purse this week. So yesterday she has her little bitty purse. It's wore out. She had this little bitty purse. So she gets on Amazon, finds one she likes, and it's about 5 times the size. Wouldn't you say about 5 times? So we're walking into Sam's Club. I said, where's your new purse? Oh, I didn't have time to turn it. I said, babe, you didn't have to change it over. You could have took that little purse, put it in your big purse, and you still had room for more stuff. Ain't that funny? I thought that was pretty hilarious. But we joke and kid like that, and that really helps. Brother Scott, I didn't say anything because I was thankful he was working, but Thursday night, he had soot all over his face. And Brother Scott, I love you, brother. He doesn't clean up well, does he, Michelle? Look at her. And we still have a little bit of soot and stuff to clean up. Josh says to me, Pastor, there's soot everywhere. I said, yeah, I know. Brother Scott had to do that job, and he threw it all over the kitchen and all over this and that. And I wanted to joke with him, but he's struggling so much, I wait for those moments. Because he elbows me, don't get me wrong. You want to put a fire to the gas line? Yeah. It's not funny, Sister Karis. You're supposed to honor your pastor. Stop it. Hey, beloved, this is how we handle it. Are you listening? Zipporah didn't handle it right. Jethro's not going to handle it right. How many times have you done it or had other people do this? They want to walk up with all the answers. But neither one of y'all talked about what God thought. I have so many. Brother Doyle Ross up there. We pray for him in that church up there. I say, Doyle will talk about this. And Doyle will talk about that. And Doyle will go this way. He wants to go. And then he'll say to me, what do you think? I said, it doesn't matter. What does God think? What does God think? So the other day I had an individual bring me by 3 steaks. And I'm so glad they asked God what he thought. Those were 3. They were boned in ribeye. And this individual, y'all don't know him, this individual doesn't have the monies. Well, I wouldn't say that, but We all know what money is worth today. It's about worthless anyway. But three boned-in ribeye. And I know what they paid for them. And that was a real blessing to my heart. Why? To make us better. To make us better. Beloved, when we see our family members at Christmas time, love them. You listen, if you have to go crazy in order to make people happy at Christmas, you're a fool. And I marriages, Jamie, and please, there comes a point in time when a husband and wife have to take care of themselves, and that's it. Micah had a little bit of a problem with the car this week, and I was able to help him. I think the final bill was about $48. We had to rebalance the tire and put a new bolt in, and Scott, I'll tell you about that later because you'll get a good laugh at it. Because he sure didn't mean to do it, and bless his heart. I always tell everybody, when you make a mistake, live and learn. Just live and learn. Yeah, it ain't worth it because you're full of mistakes. When I was telling the men about the one deposit I found that was a small mistake. It's no big deal. One out of 40. Hey, I would take that football record, 45-1, wouldn't you? You know, that'd be a pretty good record to have. But we have to mention that. If you're in leadership, you have to mention those things so we'll maybe focus just a little bit more. And then when other things come in to create distraction, you shut the door and tell them all, get away. And if they get upset, they just got to get upset. There's so much. You see how much is here? And we've just been talking about Jethro bringing back Zipporah and the kids. Boy, the woman I love, if I couldn't hug and kiss her for a few months, I'd be in trouble. There's at least probably, I'm going to say, approximately 1 year here. From Exodus chapter 4, when Zipporah left him, to when Jethro brings Zipporah here in chapter 18. I'm going to say at least a year. Why? Because you had the plagues of Egypt happening. You have Moses in the burning bush first. Then you have Moses going to Egypt, so there's a travel time. Then you've got this, you got that. I'm going to approximate at least a year, if not more, that he's been without the woman that he loves and his children. Think about it. How old are these boys? Could be in their teens for all we know. Did they have dad around? We don't know. Could these boys be young? Could they be 3, 4, and 5 years old? Sure. But I tell you right now, before 5 years old is when the relationship's built between a dad and a son. Mom and a daughter, a mom and a son, and a dad and a daughter. Jethro and Moses, though, here's a blessing. If you come here, oh, now there's a couple other things. I'm not going to get through these notes. Well, Brother Scott, these notes for next week. I want to show you something that blessed my heart. Verse 5. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped. Now watch. At the Mount of God. Where do people find you? You know where they found Moses? Encamped. Are you listening? And this will bless your heart. Encamped at the Mount of God. Think about that a minute. That's how Moses stayed right. Absolutely. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful, but his light is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That Mount of God. Well, I'll just finish with this, which really wasn't even part of the notes or the message or anything for Sunday school, but I wonder if God would find us at the bottom of that mountain. And then when he went to get the Ten Commandments or all the commandments that were written in stone, he had to go to the top of that mount. Well, there's a lot in that, isn't there? What all happens at the Mount of God? Well, the first thing is there's a true relationship with God. As opposed to the relationship that Moses' wife and Moses had. I wonder if there were hugs and kisses go around, and I wonder if Zipporah repented and Moses and her had a better relationship. I wonder. I do know that the boys stay. I don't believe it. You know what? I need to study it out before I say this. But I don't think you see Zipporah anywhere else after this. I don't think so. But I don't know that. And that's something about the scriptures. Where's Joseph? Where's Zacharias and Elizabeth at? The mom and dad of John the Baptist. I don't know. But it was amazing that his wife, his sons, and his father-in-law found him at the Mount of God. I think it's pretty important that we point that out. It might even be pretty important with Sunday school ending that that may be where everybody finds you or an I. Father, thank you for Sunday school this morning. I pray it's been a help. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Probably just need to stay there for a couple days, don't we?